Well, hello, everybody. This is Hal, the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network, and Making Biblical Family Life Practical. Would like to thank our sponsor for this episode, Sony Pictures. They're featuring the movie Smurfs, The Lost Village. You can check out the Christian study guide for this movie on our show page at halandmelanie.com/radio and find out more about the movie at affirmfilms.com. Well, hello, everybody. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to another episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. Last episode, we were talking about ways you can travel with a large family on a small budget. And we're about to do that again. You know, we are about to hit the road.
For a gracious long trip.
I think this is going to be the longest we've attempted.
It's going to be 7 weeks. And hey, I have to say, for my mother's sake, yes, we will have someone's house sitting in our house.
Yes, we will have. But this is going to be, we're calling this our Heartland Marathon, because we are going to, I think, before we all come back to home base, we're going to go to 5 major conventions and a college graduation and a wedding.
Wow.
It's going to be a busy time. And you know what? We're going to have to manage taking a large family on the road for many miles and many days without bankrupting the entire clan.
Well, you know, what you can manage for 1 or 2 days, you can't manage for a bunch of days.
That's important.
You know, you can eat off the dollar menu for a day or two, but it gets real old real fast.
And that's a thing we've learned as we're traveling long distances: sustainability. What are you able to do and pace yourself and continue day after day without getting sick or sick of it, you know?
Well, you know, if you need something really fast, sure. You can drive through and get the dollar menu at McDonald's or Taco Bell, or drive through and get Little Caesars, and that works fine when you're in an emergency and you need something really fast. But, you know, if you want to sustain good nutrition and everybody not sick to death of it on the road, you got to do better than that.
So we're going to talk about eating cheap while you're on the road. And so I guess the first thing is recognizing, yeah, you're going to have to make some plans, and your options are basically you spend a lot of money to sit down and take a lot of time in, you know, restaurants that have an actual menu, or you're going to be driving through and eating a lot of commercial fast food, which gets very old very quickly, and or you're going to have to come up with creative solutions.
So what are some of those creative solutions? The most essential item you need is a very good cooler.
Yeah.
You know, we look for one that's rated for at least 5 days, mm-hmm. because it gets expensive. If you have to replace the ice in your cooler every day, that gets pretty expensive. You're better off buying a good cooler that's going to keep it cold.
And that doesn't mean you have to get the $400, you know, extreme sportsman's model, but there are some good ones that are, you know, around the $40, $50 range. There are some bad ones around that range, too. So
read the reviews.
Yeah, that's an important thing. But, yeah, the cooler is an important thing. Keep it stocked with ice. You know, it does better if you put the ice on top of the food. And we find it's, at least for me, I find it more useful to have a kind of a horizontal type of cooler than one of those that's really deep. Because the really deep things get down into the ice water at the bottom, and it's kind of discouraging to have to shovel them out. So I think, for me, I think it's more useful if the cooler is not quite so deep. You may differ.
It helps to keep it more full, too. Mm-hmm. And if you've got a family, you want to make sure it can hold at least a gallon of milk upright.
Yeah.
Because milk is something that, you know, your kids are going to want along the way. Mm-hmm. And so make sure it can hold a gallon of milk upright. Make sure that it is easy to drain, that it has a drain plug. You don't want one without a drain plug. And keep it full. If you can't keep it full of food, keep it full of ice, because the air will cause things to melt more.
You know what? I read the instructions on our new cooler, and they said, don't be too quick to drain it out, because the ice water in the bottom will actually keep the lower end of the cooler colder than air, you know, than air with ice on top of it. So they said, don't drain it too frequently, but okay, that's something. And you know what? Let me put a plug in there for milk, because I know even sometimes when we're traveling without a cooler, sometimes it's worth stopping and getting a half gallon of milk and drinking it all at one serving. I mean, just sharing it around the van, because it's milk has got so many nutrients in it, and I find it just helps me to kind of balance out all of the coffee and the soft drinks and the junk that just naturally happens when you travel.
You know, and not that we try to drink that stuff. We don't drink it at home.
No.
But when you're sleepy, sometimes you just got to survive. You just got to keep going.
Right.
And so a soft drink or a cup of coffee may be what you need to stay safe.
Yeah. So, all right. So cooler. That's good essential equipment.
Some other things, though, that'll make it a lot better along the way is pack yourself a big crate with paper plates, paper or plastic cups, plastic forks, spoons, and knives.
Right.
And napkins and paper towels.
Okay.
And trash bags. You know, you can get all that stuff pretty cheaply in bulk at Sam's Club. That's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to have all that stuff because it's hard to wash things, even if you're staying in motels, which often we don't. We often stay in people's houses or go camping. But even in a motel, the sinks are just not made for washing dishes.
Right. Yeah.
And so it really helps to have disposable stuff that you can just get rid of. I like to put like each kind of silverware in a big plastic Ziploc bag.
Yeah, and those gallon-sized bags will hold a good-sized stack of paper plates, too.
And so put yourself a container of gallon-sized Ziploc bags in there, too.
Right.
And also, your stuff in the cooler will stay better if it's sealed up really good. So if you get some gallon-sized Ziploc freezer bags...
Yeah, those have a double zipper.
And just drop everything in a gallon Ziploc freezer bag before you put it in the cooler, you'll end up with yucky stuff a whole lot less.
Mm. You know what else we found useful... but let me give the backstory on it. One of the things that we really like to do when we're traveling, especially the first few days away from home, is to take some really good high protein sandwich spreads. So things like chicken salad, you could do tuna salad if that's something you like. Pimento cheese is a favorite of ours. And we're from the South. If you don't know what that is,
buy it at the grocery store.
Well, okay.
It's gross.
But you can make it at home.
No, what you do is you make it at home. You grate some cheese.
Oh, yes.
And you mix in some, like, Miracle Whip style salad dressing.
The kind of sweet mayonnaise type thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And a whole jar of chopped pimentos.
Yep, little diced ones.
And maybe just a little bit of pickle juice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really yummy. It's really yummy.
And, you know, one trick we learned from our son who spent some time in England, he said over there, when they make chicken salad, they put a little bit of curry powder in it.
Oh, that's so good.
And, you know, that gives it a different little zippy flavor. You can do all kinds of things. But one of the things we found useful when you're packing this kind of stuff is to save old mayonnaise jars. Wash them out, save them, and then you can reload pimento cheese or chicken salad or whatever, put it in a mayonnaise jar, and those will close up so tightly you can keep them in the cooler. Even submerge them, and the salad stuff doesn't get runny.
Oh, yes.
You know.
Love used mayonnaise jars for stuff like that.
Okay.
It helps to start out your trip with some things like that that will last a long time and that can be eaten either as snacks or sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
We always pack some saltines or other crackers.
You can put those in saltines. You can roll it up in a tortilla. You can put it in bread and make sandwiches.
Put it on... celery sticks, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Peanut butter and jelly is a great thing to have in your dry goods bin because it stays good a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Get some interesting breads because I find that, you know, the kids get bored less soon if we make it a point to make good sandwiches and not just survival sandwiches.
Okay, there is a principle because, you know, what you're doing, all right, on the one hand, you're going to buy groceries if you're at home. So just buying groceries on the road, you're just kind of swapping one part of the budget for another. But, you know, maybe you wouldn't spend quite so much on the type of quality for the meat or the cheese or the bread if you were just eating at home. And yet, when the alternative is spending four times as much to drive through and get really bad stuff through the drive-through window, then, you know what, that's a good trade.
It really is, and sometimes, I don't know, it keeps it more interesting if you have two or three interesting kinds of bread. And this is really easy to do, even when you're on the road. Like, you know, you can stop at a Walmart and pick up a loaf of, we love French bread with everything on top, everything bread.
Yes.
Kind of like an everything bagel.
Mm-hmm.
It just gives the sandwiches some extra interest. Same thing with getting some lettuce and tomatoes to put on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anything that can give you extra interest, interesting mustards.
Oh, yeah.
Often mustard doesn't have to be refrigerated.
Right. That's a good point. And you know what? If you're going to get the long bread like that, get French bread, Italian bread, or whatever, you know, Walmart bakeries, at the super Walmarts, they're really good and it's very inexpensive. Lots of grocery stores that have bakeries have this kind of stuff too. But it's good to have a knife that'll cut the bread.
Oh, yeah.
And so,
now, they will slice it for you if you ask them. But often they're slow and it takes forever and that really gets all over my nerves.
Sometimes you can get it sliced, sometimes you can't. And you know what? This amazed me. I was in a Walmart recently for something or another, and they had good serrated knives, well, I mean, good for the price, for less than a dollar, if you can believe that. I mean, that's all practically disposable. And so something like that, you know, put that in your box with your kitchen supplies, then you're not dependent on sliced bread. And that's another thing, too, is when you're getting a crusty bread like that, it'll hold up the handling and the jostling of travel a lot better than, you know, the soft, squishy kind of Wonder Bread type stuff.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, better quality sandwich ingredients. Got a knife in there so that you can get unsliced bread if you get a deal on it. Ways to keep your spreads from getting runny and contaminated and such like in the cooler.
Get some fresh vegetables to go alongside.
Okay. Like what? What would you recommend?
Like, I love bell peppers and carrots and even broccoli or cauliflower. Get some ranch dressing or something to dip them in. You know, that kind of thing to go alongside your sandwiches is a lot healthier and makes you feel gross a lot less often than the chips and stuff we tend to pack up, you know?
That's an important part of our diet on the road is not feeling gross. And you're right. That's a good thing. That'll balance out some of the compromises you have to make just to make things kind of work. Hey, you know, while we're talking about green leafy things, I think we need to take a quick break to talk about blue things.
Blue things?
Yeah, blue things. Our sponsor.
Oh, Sony Pictures is sponsoring us this month.
That's right. And so we'll be back after this message from Sony Pictures and Affirm Films.
The Blue Crew is back.
Let's go have some fun.
In their first fully animated adventure.
Nailed it.
To escape a dangerous, undiscovered world, the Smurfs will have to team up with a whole new tribe.
A village full of girls.
Hey, I'm freaking out, you guys.
Smurfs, The Lost Village. Rated PG. Exclusively from Affirm Films. Get a free Bible-based discussion guide. Visit AffirmFilms.com to download it for free. And enjoy great discussions with your whole family about the importance of purpose, friendship, honesty, and loyalty. As seen in Smurfs, The Lost Village. Now playing.
All right, well, welcome back. We are talking about eating cheap while you're on the road, how to feed a large family while you are putting miles on the odometer. And we've been talking about the things you can do with a good cooler and a good knife and a little bit of planning.
Cooler eating. One thing that helps, Hal, is stopping for lunch. Looking for a state park along your route or even a city or county park where you can pull over, get out, eat, and the kids can run around a little while. It's amazing how restorative that is.
Well, you know, I got on the advice of a doctor a while back. We've just made it a priority that we stop every 2 hours or so. You know, it may be 2.5 or whatever. But we'll stop every 2 hours, every 100 miles or so. Get out, walk around, stretch, top off the gas tank. You know, everybody go to the restroom. Mandatory bathroom stop. Remember, we talked about that last week. And that's a great time to go hit the cooler out of the back of the van or in the trailer. I mean, we travel with a trailer, so our cooler is not even inside the van with us most of the time.
Yeah.
And that's a good time to go get your supplies so that you don't have to stop again.
Well, and you know, if you do travel with a cooler back in a trailer or in a camper or behind in the back of the van, it's helpful to have a small cooler. So when you stop to go to the bathroom, that last stop before lunch, you can put your stuff in your small cooler and put the small cooler in the front.
Yeah, okay. And so that way the rest of the package of ham doesn't go bad before you stop for the evening or something. Yeah, okay.
Some other things I wanted to mention is just picking up a few of those dollar store $1 tablecloths can help a lot.
Yeah.
Because you can use those to cover a nasty picnic table. Mm-hmm. Or if you're going to eat in the hotel room, to spread out over the bed or over the floor where the kids are eating in the hotel room to keep from making a mess.
You just gather up the corners
and throw it away.
Ask us how we know about that one. Yeah, and you know, while you're at the dollar store, you might also get a mixing bowl.
Yes, that's helpful.
And you see, that plays into what we do a lot of times when we're in a hotel situation. And that is, you want something a little bit more substantial than the sandwiches that you had at lunch the past 3 days. You know, here's a trick. We found out grocery stores, Walmart, Sam's Clubs, I'm sure other people do it as well, that have rotisserie chickens.
Yes.
All right, here's a whole recipe for you. Get a bag of pre-chopped salad,
mm-hmm.
get a rotisserie chicken, and a bottle of ranch dressing. And I tell you what, you take those back to the room, you shred that chicken apart, throw it in there, toss it in there with the salad, pour some French dressing on it. You've got a fancy meat-filled salad that's delicious, and it's quite unlike what you had when you were driving.
Now, a couple of tips for that.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest rotisserie chickens for the money are at Sam's Club.
Yeah.
You can upgrade the salad by adding grated cheese or veggies or grated veggies. Like sometimes you can get like broccoli that's grated for broccoli slaw.
I've seen people chop up grapes
yeah.
throw in that kind of salad.
Grapes, cranberries, apples? Dried cranberries.
Or raisins even.
Apples, yeah. There's a lot of ways you can upgrade that and change it up
mm-hmm.
to make it better. Change the dressings.
Yeah. Now, you know.
Like you can do the same thing, Hal, by getting spinach and Caesar salad dressing with your chicken and make a Caesar salad.
Yes, you can. And you know what? If you're going to be on the road for several days, you can vary the menu a little bit from day to day so that you don't get fatigued with it. Okay. Other things you can do.
Oh, you can take a crock pot or instant pot with you. And we'll put a link to our favorite instant pot on the show page.
You know what? That's a wonderful device,
wow,
the instant pot is.
And awesome device. We've
traveled with crock pots before, but I guess, are we going to take the instant pot on this big trip with us?
You better believe it.
Now, I tell you, one thing that I've been kind of tickled with is how easy it is to boil eggs in an instant pot.
It sure is.
And here's the thing that I found. We discovered this dealing with the aftermath of Easter, is that let's say you got a whole bunch of nice cold boiled eggs that you got out of the cooler and you want to eat those with your lunch or even just for a snack, but you really don't want to cover the inside of your van with shells. You know what I found out to do? This worked so well. Take those eggs and put them in one of those big Ziploc bags and then smash them. I mean, just crack those shells all to bits, and then reach inside the bag, and you can peel the shell off the egg, and the shell never comes out of the bag.
Ooh, I like that.
That worked so well. Okay, so that's a nice little trick.
And hard-boiled eggs are a great thing to have along the way because they're just a good high-protein snack.
And you can chop them up and make egg salad if you like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Or you can make deviled eggs. I love deviled eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in our family loves deviled eggs.
Yes, they do.
But in an Instant Pot, it's super easy. You just put a cup and a half of water in the bottom.
Yep.
Put your little steam tray in there. Pile your eggs in. Mm-hmm. 5 minutes on high pressure, 5 minutes natural release, and 5 minutes in a water bath.
And then peel them in a plastic bag. You might even do
super
that in
easy.
The hotel room just to keep the mess down.
Yeah.
What are some other things we do?
Well, and there's all kinds of things you can cook in an Instant Pot in a hotel room because it's so fast. Like the slowest thing we ever cook in the Instant Pot is if we're doing something like pulled pork. With pulled pork, you can go get a pork shoulder or a Boston butt,
mm-hmm.
put it in the Instant Pot, and 90 minutes later have pulled pork.
Sure,
that's just barely time for everybody to get all the luggage loaded in and everybody take a shower.
Wow. Well, yeah. I mean,
smaller hunks of meat can be cooked a lot faster, too.
Mm-hmm.
But now, if you're going to use a crock pot, I recommend getting crock pot liners. I wouldn't use those things at home.
Right.
But crock pot, sometimes, you know, things get sticky and hard on the edges and it gets hard to clean.
Yeah.
But a crock pot liner will keep it all nice and clean. You just bundle up and throw it away. The Instant Pot, things don't seem to stick to the pot at all.
Yeah. Well, I think you cook them and get them out so quickly they don't dry out and adhere. I think that's the difference. Now, one of the tricks that we learned from fellow exhibitors, people who spend a lot of time out on the road, it's kind of funny because the people that you meet at homeschool conventions are almost like carnies. You know, they go from one convention to another, so they have this traveling lifestyle, And we share a lot of things back and forth, a lot of ideas. And somebody gave us a really great idea for a practically no-cook lasagna that you can do in a crock pot.
Oh, yeah. You can take lasagna noodles,
mm-hmm.
and you can buy the no-bake ones, I mean, the no-cook ones,
mm-hmm.
and but you don't have to. The regular noodles work fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
But just make lasagna like you normally would, but I add an extra cup or cup and a half of water.
Right.
Because I don't like my lasagna really sticky and gummy.
Mm-hmm.
And just cook it like normal and put dry noodles in there. It works great. Now,
yep.
it's what I do is I spread the ricotta cheese on the hard dry noodles before I put them in. That makes it a little bit easier to manage the ricotta cheese.
Wow. That's a good idea. I wonder if that would work in an Instant Pot. We haven't tried that yet.
But
probably
you
would.
Know what? Kendra Fletcher,
mm-hmm.
our friend at Homeschooling Real Life, she cooked lasagna in the Instant Pot recently and said it was yum.
Ah, okay. Well, so on the basis of Kendra's recommendation, we'll say that can be done. We just haven't tried it yet.
Yeah.
Okay, so what else can we do? Well, now, you know what? All right, we're talking about eating out of the cooler. We're talking about cooking in the hotel room. But, you know, it is okay, you know, to delve into the restaurant scene a little bit. I mean,
well,
you can
first
just do that.
Let's talk about camping.
Oh, camping?
Because,
well, surely.
You know, you can camp, you can cook camping, all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can even, you know, I remember one time when we thought we were going to camp, but somebody got sick and we moved to a hotel room.
Yeah.
But we still used our Coleman stove and cooked out at the park.
And I tell you what. Now, I like the old green and red Coleman stove with the generator that you pump up and everything, because I'm a traditionalist. But I got to be honest, we've got some of the propane stoves, and they are so easy and so clean, and they're so lightweight.
And they're so cheap.
They're
honestly cheap,
honest to goodness, yeah. And so, you know, something like that, sure, I mean, that's an alternative. I remember stopping at a city park and throwing our stove out on the picnic table and cooking breakfast there in the open air, even though we weren't camping out. And that's an alternative. You can do that. And as far as cookware for your camp stove, it could be anything in the world. I mean, to your iron skillet your grandma bequeathed to you, to a high-tech folding aluminum stuff that you might get at the camping store. And I think we mentioned this on the last episode, but I can say it again. You know, when you're just doing the camping, or you're doing the improvisational type of cooking and stuff, just because you got to do it to get to your destination, it's not as big a production as when you say, I'm going to go out in the wilderness for the purpose of camping only. You know, but to say, we're camping because it's a stop along the way. We're going to stop and cook something because we got to cook something. And it doesn't have to be a big, stressful production.
Now, some tips for doing it, though.
Yeah.
Okay. It's really important that you bring a dish pan along.
Okay.
And, you know, that can just be a plastic bin or something from Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to have something you can wash dishes in.
Yep.
Because usually the sinks and stuff at the campgrounds aren't big enough to do that.
Yep.
And so just, you know, if you get one just 6 or 8 inches deep and about a foot to a foot and a half wide.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
you can use the carry stuff, too.
Right.
You know.
You can put your pots and pans in there to carry them with you.
Mm-hmm.
Then use it for a dish pan when you're there.
Yeah. That works well. Okay. So.
And you need a dish brush and dish soap. Like dish detergent.
Yeah, just one of those little squirt bottles will
work. Yeah, ask me. I've forgotten those things. It's not pretty.
Yeah. Okay. So, let's see. Anything else on the camping scene that we want to mention there?
Iron cookware, like iron skillets and Dutch ovens work
yeah.
really well because,
yeah.
you know, the heat from a Coleman stove or from a fire is not very even.
No, it's going to have hot spots.
It's going to have hot spots. A good thick iron skillet
yeah.
will smooth that out and make it easier for you to produce really good food.
That's a good point. Okay.
Let's see what else.
Well,
gotta have a way to have coffee in the morning if you're camping.
Well, you know what? An old fashioned camp stove coffee pot is a good thing. Now, we're not the Keurig type of people, and we're not coffee snobs. In fact, you don't drink coffee at all. That's my particular.
Our kids are coffee snobs.
Well, okay. They're millennials. I mean, that's what they do, but. But honest to goodness, a good coffee pot or kettle of some sort is a good thing to have if you're going to be doing the camping thing, the camp stove thing, just because, if nothing else, you can heat up the water to wash the pans in.
That helps.
But, you know, if you can bear it, of course, you can do instant coffee. But I do like to have something that drips through.
You can just do it the old-fashioned way and
just throw it in the pot.
Throw it in the pot and just pour it off the top.
And just pretend it's espresso. That's what all the grounds are
cowboy
for, right?
Cowboy coffee.
Cowboy coffee, yeah, okay. So, all right. Well, I tell you what, before we wrap things up, though, I do want to do a little bit of a review of what is available out there if you do have to drive through. We've done a little bit of this already this season, and we just got back from a trip to Canada. We made some startling discoveries up there, and I think that there's some possibilities there, you know, anywhere in North America. Like, for example, we just got into Ottawa. We had checked into the hotel, but we were trying to figure out what to do about supper because we hadn't made plans. And we just stumbled across a Chinese restaurant in a strip mall. I mean, how many of these are there all over the blooming country? But we just, on a whim, we went in and checked the menu, and they had a special on egg rolls. It was like 12 egg rolls for $14 Canadian. Well, when you did the exchange rate, it came out to about 88 cents an egg roll. Ka-ching.
Yeah, okay, that was
so
awesome.
So we got like a sack of egg rolls, and that's what we had for supper. And it was quite inexpensive.
And so, yeah, think outside the box is the thing is. Mm-hmm. And one thing that we always try to do if we do eat out is to ask people what their area is known for. A good way to drill down with that, some people, you know, say, oh, well, I really love the Pizza Hut or something that you can get anywhere. Ignore those folks.
Right.
Find somebody else. Ask them, if you moved away, what would you want your mama to send you, or what's the first place you want to eat when you came home?
That's a good question. And people who've traveled any will know, hey, once I get outside this region, you're never going to find a cheeseburger with jalapeno peppers on it. You're never going to find a, you know, whatever. And so, yeah, that's a good thing to ask. And that's part of our traveling experience to us, you know, is that we try to pick up some local food just as part of our sightseeing.
Well, what's amazing is that lots of times you can get some really good food for not much more than you would spend eating fast food.
Frankly, a lot of times what are local specialties are just a step up from street food anyway.
Yeah.
So they tend to be on the low end of the economic, you know, scale anyhow. And so,
well, when we were in Ottawa a couple of weeks ago, we asked, you know, what we were looking online to see what do people in Ottawa eat.
What's distinctively Canadian to eat here?
Well, yeah. It was shawarma.
Shawarma.
Which is, you know, Middle Eastern, yeah. But we got a huge, huge feast for our whole family for really quite a little bit of money. We bought their family pack. It was amazing. All this meat and rice and veggies. It was fantastic and very healthy.
Yeah. Now, while we were in Canada, you know, the dollar menu is like more like $1.45.
$1.80.
And so you have to kind of, you know, do the math and those kind of things. And that's something that I've been kind of sad to see as the prices have inched up, because, you know, the economic scene doesn't seem to be inching up as fast as prices. But one of the best deals we found, we mentioned it, and sometimes we've done it so many times we start to get a little fatigued, is the Little Caesars hot and ready pizzas. They're $5. You know, you can spend a couple dollars more and get a fancier crust or an extra ingredient or something. But really, if you're talking about taking a van load of kids through and everybody spending $2 or $3 at the drive through, you can really feed everybody pretty well on pizza for about the same price.
Yeah, you really can. And that's very filling if you got teens. Mm-hmm. That's a great thing for teens.
Yeah.
Some things that help are to just ask around. You know, just ask people, what's the best restaurant around here?
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing that sometimes you can find things that are, you know, I think about my mom's hometown and a restaurant she likes to go to very often, and it's very inexpensive and very good food.
Yeah. And so, you know, it could be biscuits, you know, biscuits in this town, or it could be hot dogs in another one, or it could be a particular hamburger stand or a fish house. Or, I mean, there's all kinds of different things around. And it's worth asking. And you know what? There's some websites we found useful. One of them is called Road Food. Roadfood.com is a good advisory for local delicacies, if you want to call it that.
And if you search the name of a town in Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives,
mm-hmm.
there's several sites that map the places that Guy Fieri goes to as he travels the country looking at these interesting little spots.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them will be just dirt cheap, and some will be very expensive.
Yeah.
So you kind of, you know, you got to watch out. You know, I remember in Phoenix eating at the Fry Bread House. place run by the Tohono O'odham Indian tribe.
That's one of our favorite places in the whole country. So when we're in Arizona, we try to go to the Fry Bread House because it's like, this is like tacos on steroids. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, imagine a funnel cake, but without sugar.
Right.
Now pile a roast cooked till it falls apart on it.
Shredded beef.
Oh, man, so good. Anyway.
Yeah.
But we found all kinds of interesting and fun things that have been important memories for our kids as we've been traveling around.
Right.
The important thing about eating cheap on the road is to think ahead. Because you're not going to find the super interesting place to eat when everyone's starving and crying and whining.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to have good, healthy sandwiches with veggies on the side if you wait till everybody's starving and you can't find a place to stop and go grocery shopping.
And just be realistic, you know, and recognize, hey, when it gets to be 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you probably need to start thinking about supper because it's not going to be, if you're going to do it with some savvy, you know, it's not going to be a snap decision. You're going to have to take steps.
And plan ahead. You know, look around for places like Aldi where you can get really cheap, good food.
Yeah.
Sometimes grocery outlets. We've gotten some really good deals at grocery outlets.
Sure.
So Google grocery outlets in the next big town you're going through. Mm-hmm. Just be creative. Keep it interesting. Change it up. Spend a little extra money to get good vegetables, good fruits, interesting meats, interesting breads. And because if people aren't bored, then you won't go to the easy option drive-through as often.
And you will regret it if you do. But anyway, look, that's our advice. That's our quick advice, our update on eating cheap while you're on the road. And we're going to put that into practice starting very soon. So if you are anywhere along our route, you can come to our website at raisingrealmen.com and look on our calendar. And you'll see we're going to be all over the heartland in the next few weeks. And you know what? We could be stopping in someplace very close to you. So go check that out. And of course, you know, you can become a regular sponsor of this broadcast by joining our crew on Patreon. Patreon.com, Patreon. We got some great benefits for our regular listeners. If you can give $1 a month, if you can give $100 a month, whatever, it helps keep us going quite literally. And we do appreciate you spending time with us because there's many things you can do with a half hour. We're thankful that you invested it with us. So until next time, when we talk about taking biblical principles into the 21st century family, I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
Thanks for joining us.
See you next time. Bye, y'all.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HALANDMELANIE.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/HalAndMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.